ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Presented by Zadok Jewelers. KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Belvieu, Houston. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 8:02 on ESPN 97.5. Man, Trey. You know Trey.
Juggalo Trey?
Yeah, Juggalo Trey. Yeah. He just, it's Raheel's birthday, and he was all going, oh, I love you, I love you. Goodness gracious.
What?
Whatever, Raheel, it's your birthday. You breathed another year. Congratulations.
What about Trey, though?
No, he's one of my best friends. He's such a light in darkness.
Wait, Trey said that about Raheel?
Yeah.
About a light in the darkness?
Yeah.
Raheel's the darkness.
Raheel is darkness. He is.
He's got us tricked.
He still leads on worst person on this show, and he hasn't been here for how long?
He hasn't been here.
He's still the worst person.
Yeah. I called that dude a phony a long time ago.
Yeah.
And people still haven't. Trey's still being duped.
Yeah.
That man's a phony, Trey.
And Raheel loves it. He loves the fact that he's fooled so many people.
He loves that he has a certain segment of his following, particularly on Twitter, who love him because he goes. He'll ask a question and goes, guys, what are you doing today? And people chime, no, I'm doing this and this. They don't know the dark side. They don't know.
Yeah. It's like, hey, guys, hope you're having a great day today. Tell me what your plans are for this weekend.
Yeah, all his text.
He doesn't care what your plans are.
The people who follow him because of ABC 13 stuff or the people he knows from Texas that are following him, they don't know what he is. They're completely fooled. We know what he is behind the scenes. He's the guy who will short his daughter on formula per day to save money. That's who he is. When in the, you know, the most important part of the growth process for a young child, he was like, you know what? I can save more money if I cut her daily allowance. That's who he is.
And now look, she's still undernourished.
She's undersized.
I mean, goodness gracious. Anyway, yeah, happy birthday, whatever. So the word is out, Lance. You are moving.
Okay.
NFL Network and NFL Red Zone going to Hulu.
What does that mean?
That means, well, you're on NFL Network. Guess what? That's where the stations are. Now, you can find it on Hulu now.
Oh, in addition to, yes.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to have to move from my house.
That's what I was hoping for.
I was very concerned.
No. Media confirmed on Tuesday that the league has put pen to paper on a multi-year agreement to air NFL Network and NFL Red Zone on Hulu's live streaming service by August 1st and the start of scheduled preseason games. So you're still going to be able to get it on Xfinity and Hulu?
Yeah, but what this is...
Or is it just going exclusively to Hulu?
No, you can still get it on your cable
broadcast. Oh, Dish, YouTube, Fubo. Yeah. Oh, no, I don't know about Xfinity.
Oh,
Dish, YouTube TV, and Fubo TV.
Oh, well, if you're willing to pay for it, then you can get it. Wait, Dish YouTube. Did you say DirecTV?
Dish YouTube? No, and Fubo.
Because DirecTV is losing. When are they losing the NFL
DirecTV's
package?
DirecTV's losing.
Is that starting this season?
Yeah, the NFL package this year.
I wouldn't be surprised if DirecTV is out of freaking business in about 6 years. I mean, seriously? They're not going to want to. The cord cutting thing is, not only is it real, it's inevitable now. Everyone, I'm sitting here looking at it. I've had DirecTV since 96, I think, when I first got it, and I was like, oh my God, I can see every NBA game. I can see every single NBA game on this NBA package. I also have one of those sweet cards because it was a dealer of DirecTV, gave me one of those special cards where I had everything. And
NFL package.
Oh, what's your bill? It's like $207, like $230. Like, what? $230?
That's cheap for me.
Well, there's bundles and all that stuff, but I've also shaved off some. And I realized, I started thinking about it. Let's see. Every time my kids turn on TV, they're either watching YouTube or Netflix. So they don't watch network television anymore. I don't watch network television much unless it's news related. I don't watch any of the network shows. I'm watching, I turn on Apple TV whenever I want to watch my HBO Max. Other than some of the shows that I have that pop up, you know, that I put on recording. And you can get those for streaming also if you really want to.
Well, Dell, how do you steal Hulu? Can you tell everybody?
I don't steal Hulu. I pay for it.
How do you borrow it?
I pay for Hulu without ads.
I'll have to ask Raheel. He's the worst person.
I don't pay for the TV. I don't pay for live TV anymore right now. There are ways to watch games without it. That's what I do.
Now, here's the thing, though. Paramount Plus, right? You have Peacock TV, Paramount Plus. So everyone's going to the streaming. And guess what that means? Well, that means once you get all your streaming sites together, it's like you're back up to $80, $90 again, $100.
Yeah.
If you start loading up. Yeah.
Yeah. Your cord cutting is a chance to just lower your bills again and then just hit reset. And like, well, I'd like this. Oh, I like this show on this. Oh, I can get The Office. That's the only place I can get it is Peacock TV now. I sure would like to have that available to watch. I'll get Peacock TV. And before you know, for me, I've got to have Paramount Plus had, I think it's Champions League is what Paramount had. I only got
Paramount has a lot of stuff now.
It's got a lot of stuff. Only reason I got it is I wanted to see the Real World Reunion, the original one, and I've never watched it. I've gone through two straight months of paying for Paramount TV, and I hadn't had the time to just watch the original Real World in New York, which kind of started this whole thing. Probably headed downhill now that we think about it. But now that we're being honest
This is Raheel 100%. TJ says, Raheel is the type of person to ask a heartfelt question on Twitter, then mute the conversation.
He knows Raheel. Yeah. I think Raheel's actually told me that before.
After he gets too many responses, I'm out. I don't.
Guys, tell me about the most. Hey, guys, I had some really sad things happen to me today. Tell me about what the one thing that was your hardest thing to overcome and the saddest thing. And before he can even finish, he's going to mute this conversation. Now what do I do? I think I'm going to go get my kombucha.
Yeah. My house is 100% all Fubo. It has all the sports and ATT Sportsnet.
So I always see that every time I've gone to try to borrow a stream for a basketball game when I've been up here and I didn't know how to watch it and I wanted to borrow something off the internet, you know, a stream of a game.
Borrow it.
Or an NFL stream. I wanted to borrow an NFL stream of the Texans because my DirecTV package blacks out the local, you know, the local game. Whenever I want to borrow stuff, it always tells me, hey, guys, you can get this if you go to Fubo. You can go to Fubo, and all I can think of, this is malware. This isn't real. I don't want to install this. Just install Fubo. Everything will be fine. Trust us, Lance. I'm not trusting you, Internet. Everything you always tell me to trust you and install something. Everybody's always told me never install anything
never.
Internet.
And by the way, Fubo is going to go away, Fubo. Too. What is Fubo? Is it for us by others?
No, that's,
Not,
it's not the same
that's
thing.
That's not it?
No, but they've got a lot of
Mark
sports.
No, Mark Davis, it's not.
It's not?
No, Mark Davis, it isn't.
So what what did Mark Davis...
he took credit or blame, whatever, for that dumbass Raiders tweet yesterday.
Tell people about the Raiders.
If you missed it after the Derek Chauvin verdict came in where he was found guilty on all counts, sometime a little bit later, the Raiders tweeted out, just in black with white lettering, you know their colors, I can breathe for 2021. And everyone was like, what are you doing?
Mark, stop, Mark.
Stop it. And Mark Davis, obviously, he said, hey, it was my idea. So it wasn't some dopey social media manager getting a little ahead of themselves or whatever. The owner was like, no, that was my decision.
I can breathe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't go over well. Got a whole lot of quote tweets. Usually when something gets retweeted, it's like, yeah, everyone's for it, kind of. Quote tweets usually mean we got something to say about this. And most people are like, this is a bad, look.
No, Mark Davis, you ain't doing this.
Him and Nancy Pelosi took the day yesterday.
Oh, did she take? Well, when I heard her say that, I was like, really? I mean, honestly, honestly.
It wasn't a great day
for... that George Floyd sacrificed his life.
It's not a sacrifice.
For us.
For justice.
No.
Yeah.
I said it during the time. I wish I didn't know George Floyd's name because it would mean he was living his life.
Yeah, he was still alive. He didn't sacrifice his life.
It was not
Jesus and then George Floyd, Nancy.
It was a bad, certainly he wasn't volunteering that.
Thanks, George.
That act.
Like, What? Oh, people.
Oh, it was good for her. She caught it.
She's not had a good run with the George Floyd thing. She put on that kente cloth and took a knee back in last year, and now this. You stay away from the George Floyd topic, Nancy.
She's not. And then she was flexing. I just called the family and I told them the thank you for how. Stop, Nancy.
I had a friend text me yesterday, black friend, who was like, can you please do something with your people? I said, stop.
Well,
all white people are not my people.
I said the same thing to you.
He said, why are they trying to? I don't ask me why people are trying to do anything.
Yeah.
Just stop. I'm trying to watch the end of Banshee. This season four is just I've gotten enough softcore action.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, not only soft, but I've gotten enough of that. Okay, yeah, it's a Cinemax show. It's a Cinemax show. The fights are done. You just quit on shows, though.
Yeah.
John will randomly just like, I'm done. Adele, you're probably like me, where you have to like, okay, I've gone this far.
He quits on stuff, too.
No, usually I just wait. If I find out that there are multiple if I'm not sure if there's multiple seasons, I might back off. And then if there's multiple seasons, I'll like to binge.
But
if I'm
in, I'm in.
Yeah, I'll watch it. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well,
you finish off the series. And yeah.
But I'm not going
to
quit. It
starts to get boring. I'm out.
Yeah, I don't do that.
Too easy.
No. No. No, I'm done with
stuff. Okay, are you out on, okay, have you quit on the Rockets on season on episode, there's only two more episodes of the Rockets.
Yeah, no, have I
you,
quit on that.
You quit on that?
Yeah. I just read the reviews.
Are you sure?
Now.
There's more drama. There's still some drama.
Do you quit there's on no the drama. 17? Did you last year quit on the Texans 16 game season? Or did you just finish it? Like
I finished it, but begrudgingly.
Yeah.
I was like, this
You
sucks.
Were fast forwarding past certain scenes.
Yeah. It was like season five of Outlander. This sucks.
If you say so, I haven't gotten that far. There's some late season drama with the Rockets, because you know they could either close
only to
out.
See how sucky. Yeah, it
but there's
could.
A storyline that you actually are following.
What if they close out the arc the way you want? The season storyline.
Do you care?
Well, no. That's the following season. I want to see because that'll be like Banshee starting out that Mormon girl. Holy crap!
You need to know what happened. No, you need to know what happens at the cliffhanger with the Rockets.
It's
you're going to have to watch the season
it's really
finale.
Yeah, the cliffhanger's a lottery.
Yeah, the lottery, no, the chance of a lottery. No, the actual lottery pick. And
well, that's the start of next season.
And the picks, and here we go. That's where we'll cut off.
That's the start of season.
No, that's the end. Okay, so what's the cliffhanger?
Huh?
What's the cliffhanger?
The cliffhanger is, did they get there? Are they going to get
there? No, the cliffhanger is you don't know the answer.
No, that's right. You don't know if they're going to get there.
Tell
pick.
Him how this works.
He doesn't
it's the lottery.
He doesn't know. It is the lottery. That's the cliffhanger. He doesn't know. He don't know
no.
nothing.
No, the lottery tells you that they got
You're
the pick.
You're a terrible showrunner. You're the worst showrunner ever.
The end of this season is whether or not they're going to get into it. And then...
No.
The start of next season is the pick.
The penultimate episode is usually one of the most important episodes, just like Game of Thrones. And the last episode is where you get left with the, we're not sure. That's the one you're talking about. Is
the
next
episode,
to last.
Right.
The next to last is where you're like, did they finish in the bottom four? But frankly, we could find out that's done in episode, like that's really could be in two episodes previous.
But guess what? If they don't get into the lottery, no one's watching the next season. Okay? The next season is going to suck. You want people to wonder whether or not.
Yes. When they just start, okay, welcome Adam Silver, and he takes the envelope and he opens it up. Cut away.
That's what I'm saying. You don't know. You don't know.
That's why we were saying it starts there. The lottery doesn't start the next one. The cutaway is that.
That is
then
the lottery,
you go to
Lance.
The next.
That's the lottery.
No, you start the cutaway. We're having a real argument about how you do TV for the Rockets.
Yeah.
But no, the cutaway is right when he opens the envelope. Boom.
And
you cut away.
No, right.
Yeah.
You don't
okay.
Know.
Then we're on the same page. Yeah. But let Dell and us set the. You're screwing this up.
He always
you cannot
does.
Be a showrunner.
He's a terrible showrunner.
No, terrible showrunner.
Everything would be about orcs
by the
and
way,
Balrogs.
Yeah, but whatever.
And talking monkeys.
It's the same thing that I said, but never mind. 815 ESPN 97.5.
I said it up better.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Bench
on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776 to hang out with us here on ESPN 97.5. 713, this is the worst. Will people tie a snake to the back of your backpack and it follows you?
Run.
And you run away, and it keeps following you.
It's not a real snake.
That's not a real snake.
It's a good prank video. No, I get caught up on. I got
a
friend.
I got a buddy. If you scare him with a snake, a fake snake, he will never speak to you. He will never ever. He is so deathly afraid of snakes. And I send him all snake videos all the time. Martin, my boy Martin.
You're a terrible.
Any snake video I see,
and you send snake videos. This is why.
Yeah, I gotta.
Yeah. Mental health with John is just all of us who struggle with it from being around John for so many years, like Martin and me and Dell. Now you guys know what we go through. It's a grind every single day being around this bully.
People are like, Dell, why don't you? John's great. You don't hang out with him. No, he's terrible for your mental
Kyrie
stability.
I start taking personal days.
I get the 4 hours here, and that's enough.
That's plenty time. That's plenty. 4 hours is plenty.
Plenty.
Like my wife doesn't come home till from work till 8 or so, because she doesn't have to spend too much time with me.
Or is it because she has a really important job to do?
Yeah, that too. That too.
She's just avoiding you at work. She's twiddling her thumbs.
She's got her feet up. She's watching movies.
Hanging out, taking calls
from
Gilbert.
She's got her towel down, eating dinner.
That's what he does.
I know, that's true.
You don't want to get food on a bed?
Yeah.
This is the dumbest thing. Everyone said, I'm just going to tell you for the last time. I put a towel down so if I eat on the bed, I don't want to get food on my bed. And why would I be in the bedroom on my bed? Because I want to watch TV. And I want to watch a show that no one else can watch. Like a banshee, for example. And most of the shows I watch are not appropriate for kids, the language or whatever. I mean, if you're watching Netflix or whatever, shows are going to have some. I'm not watching network television with laugh
tracks
anymore.
What are you eating? What are you eating that you're afraid you're going to spill
stuff
on your bed?
Well, it's like if I have ramen.
Huh.
The soup.
So you lay
down. Ramen is an example.
So do you lay down on your.
How often do you eat ramen?
If I go to Roostars and get something with. The rice or a poke has got rice. Rice gets on there.
So
You
lay down on your stomach and eat?
No. You sit down like a proper human on a bed eating food.
Sorry,
like
you're offended by that question. He's got a dinner towel on his bed. He's offended by question.
You're the one that's dumb.
I'm out of line.
Yeah.
You're out of line. I'm not sitting at a table. What does a table do when you can't see the TV?
What are you talking about? How about a TV table? That's what we got to buy, Lance. TV table so you can sit on the bed.
When's your birthday? We'll buy you a TV table.
My wife is not going to.
For you? Just specifically for you?
Just throw it away.
She's
not going to, I don't need a table. Well, maybe I do.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
She's okay with you sitting in her bed with a dinner towel.
TV tables are excellent.
I'll take that.
We do that. We watch TV.
There's less chance you drop the ramen too off the spoon.
I bet you. Right there in front of the TV. So,
if you asked her TV towel in her bed. Or
she doesn't like it.
Get one for all the kids.
I'll sneak into the
bedroom. Get a TV table for all the kids.
Where are you going?
Then none of you have to talk to each other.
You
all sit in front of the TV.
No, that's what we're
eat dinner with
we're
your
fighting,
TV table.
We're actually trying to fight against that and have more family dinners right now.
That sounds
terrible. And you sneak away go to the bedroom.
No, never at dinner. Never at dinner. But, unless we're not eating at the same time. The kids aren't going to be here. Alex is going to be here. My wife's standing up eating. But then I'm the one who goes, you need to sit down and eat with the kids. What are you doing? You're sitting here, you're making the food, and then you're standing up eating a separate meal from us. You could have to sit down there, too.
Ooh.
Not just me.
Put his foot down. Who's the man of this house?
I don't take no orders from no women.
I don't take no orders from no woman, by the way.
Is that what you say to her?
That's what he says.
And then she's like, sis, sit down with your kids. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, I take orders from women.
I don't take no orders from no women, by the way.
But I will sit. Because I want to.
Let's get Biscuit in here. Hey, Biscuit.
Hey, man. Lance, I would believe that talk if I hadn't heard the wife on the radio tell you, you know the rules. You remember that one?
Yeah. That's
you growing the beard or whatever.
oh, that's way back in the day where she told me. So I was growing a little bit of a, I was letting it go for a while. This is probably back in 14. and 14, 15, and she's like, that's got it. At some point, she decided she needed to step in. She goes, okay, that's this has to go. This is not going to be a thing, a beard. And I said, yeah, I'm thinking about making it a thing. She goes, okay, well, she threw the ultimate.
Yeah,
she threw the ultimate. You, man, we all know what the ultimate is.
What the ultimate is.
If you don't, then she pushed all the chips.
Yeah, right.
And I was like, fold.
Nope. Shave.
Not before I sat and pretended like I was maybe going to push my chips in, like at a card table. When as soon as they push all in, you know you're out, but you have to sit and act like you're doing pot odds. You're looking at your cards. When really you know you're.
No.
You folded immediately.
You're folding.
I had folded immediately, but I had to act tough. Yeah, you remember that, huh? Biscuit, I folded.
Hey, man, before I get to my take on the draft, man, I do have one question regarding the Rockets to you guys. And I know the sample size is small, but has Silas shown enough to let you think that he could be the coach to take the Rockets to a any kind of semblance of being a good team? I don't know, man. I really.
No. I mean, he's Bo Silas. I mean, they gave him a crap team, and he can't do it. Can't make chicken salad out of this.
But he might not be a good coach.
I know, but guess what? When it comes time to having good players, when you got a good young nucleus and some good players, his record is going to be so crappy that he's going to have to go. Now, one thing we haven't – it's true. He's getting Bo Portered here. One thing that is a little disturbing is how poor they are defensively. I mean, he did come over as an offensive coach, but, man, you got to play some defense. Goodness gracious. They are terrible defensively. Terrible. So, Biscuit.
Lance, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Let me cut you off, John. Let me ask you this, Lance. If you were ranking them 1 through 4, 1 being the top and 4 being the lower, how would you rank the prospects of Sewell, Slater, Sertan, and J.C. Horn? And what order would you put them in? And I'll hang up on this.
Yeah, I would say it goes Sertan, Sewell, and Slater are really close, and then Horn right below them. But that's actually a really good question because I think Sewell, Slater, Horn are all fairly close together. I think Horn is probably the guy with J.C. Horn is a cornerback. He's Joe Horn's son, cornerback from South Carolina. Big cornerbacks, over 6'1 and over 200 pounds. Can run, can jump, physical press coverage. He is going to be the second corner off the board. It was going to be Caleb Farley, but he's got back issues. So he will not be the second corner. It'll be J.C. Horn. J.C., though, I would say Sertan to me is going to be special. I think there's some – it's very strange to me to see some people sleeping on Sertan just like, he doesn't really do it for me. Okay. His technique is flawless. He is – you know, he can run. He is just absolutely consistent. So I would say Sertan 1. Sewell is one of the – Sewell has a lower floor than Slater, but he has a higher upside. And then Horn also does have a pretty good upside, maybe a little bit of a floor. So it's actually a really good question, Biscuit. Sertan is number 1 to me. And after that, maybe very slightly Sewell over Slater and then Horn. And that's how my actual draft grades go for each of those guys. I had Slater ahead of Sewell, but even though Slater is a better player right now, you have to look at who's going to be the better player in 3 years or 4 years. And there's a better chance that Sewell, who the last time Austin played was 19 years old, there's a better chance that because of his athletic talent and his ability to get stronger, that he could be a better player than Sean Sewell.
Lewis Riddick came out, was it yesterday or the day before, and he said that Jamar Chase is the can't-miss player in this draft. Who's your can't-miss player in this draft? Pitts?
Well, besides, I think Trevor Lawrence is can't-miss.
Well, okay, not quarterback.
Yeah, I think it's Kyle Pitts. I think it's Kyle Pitts because he's my number 2 player. But, I mean, he's got phenomenal hands. You know, you can pretty much tell me any player and I can give you all right, Jamar Chase is very unpolished. You still don't know what you have in him right now in terms of the polish. Devontae Smith's 170 pounds. Even guys that I love, Jalen Waddle's a little smaller. You know, he's not, he's well built.
It could be Parsons. Not, it could be Slater.
It's really easy. Like, it's the guy who is the can't miss is really Pitts, because who did he say it is?
He said Ja'Marr Chase.
Parsons has some character concerns. To me, it's Pitts, and it's not even close. Like, Pitts' hands are phenomenal. His body control in the air is phenomenal. He's tall. He's got long arms. He runs fast. He runs great routes. He is tough as a pass catcher. He can play outside. He can play inside in the slot. He can play off the line of scrimmage. I can't find anything. Frankly, my grade's probably too low on him, and I got him as the second highest prospect. I think he's not only can't miss, I think he is going to be a transformative player that we talk about along with very, very quickly, along with, you know, Kittle's really only done it for 1.5 years. I guess 2 years kind of, but Travis Kelce's the one. Like, Travis is the guy. But before Travis, we had obviously Antonio Gates, who was fantastic, and we had Tony Gonzalez, right? Mm. Those are, and then you've had guys like
Gronk.
Like, well, no, Gronk. Yeah, you're right. Okay, not yeah. That's disrespectful. It's Gronk and then Kelce, and then probably, who do you put next, Gates or Gonzalez?
Gonzalez.
Gonzalez, Gates is right there behind him. And then it's just a bunch of, you know, I mean, Dallas Clark was good. Jason Witten, that's fine. Those guys were special as pass catchers.
Jason Witten is special now.
Well, Jason can play for all of eternity.
Yeah, but and he's also one of the leading pass catchers in NFL history.
Well, he's played forever. Yeah. But, yeah, he has. He's been, and he's there's nothing special about him athletically.
No.
He's just been a really durable, good player. But Kyle Pitts, if you don't watch a lot of college football, Kyle Pitts, when I saw him this year, right off the bat, you know, this is special.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this guy's just, nobody looks like him.
No. All right, 830 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. If you'd like to hang with us, 713-780-3776.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more.
One in the head, one in the bag, bubbly. Look at the cash coming in.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. To hang out with us here on the show, you are more than welcome to do that. Give the people some plays for the draft.
Some plays?
Yeah.
We'll pull up something.
Well, I mean, you know what their unders, under overs are.
And well, I only know certain. Like, go to a mainstream. Go to your. Okay. Are they out there in full?
My bookie. I got to see.
Go to my bookie. Actually, Dane Brugler and I are on our Pros to Prospects. I mean, Prospects to Pros podcast that we do for The Athletic. We're doing it today. I recommended to him. I said, let's do props.
Mm-hmm.
You know how many people will listen for the first time to get these prop bets? I've had people in the media reach out, like through direct message. Hey, I was curious. First of all, how's the family? All that. Also, where do you think Caleb Farley, like, if you think you'll get drafted inside the first 18 picks? I'm like, okay, if you had, just tell me you're doing over-unders.
Mm-hmm.
Don't try to say, how's the family? You don't care, and I don't care if you ask. It's okay. You can just, like, I'm the type of guy, if you just, hey, what do you like, over-under? I don't have to say, oh, Will, thanks for reaching out. That's fine. I recognize you're trying to make money. I'm trying to help you. Well, that's fine. So give me some. Let's go. My bookie.
Well,
and my confidence rating is going to be 1 to 3.
Third pick. Justin Fields is plus 100 now. Trey Lance is plus 200. And Mac Jones is minus 110.
So Mac's back to the favorite?
Mac's back to the favorite.
Well, they people are just... to me, that is one that I would... there's no value there, so I'd play Mac Jones minus 110 at a 2. two out of three. I mean, one, two, and three are the confidence rankings. So I will say I would play it, and I'll say two. So Mac Jones, minus 110, confidence rating two.
Yeah, I think it's going to be Mac Jones, right? I mean, so. there was a week, or there was about 4 or 5 days where Justin Fields, oh my gosh.
Get back in on some of that.
And then all of a sudden it was like,
and then Trey Lance went from being plus like 500 to he had another pro day in San Francisco. They're like, wait a minute.
Plus 200.
But while Trey Lance would be the perfect pick for San Francisco.
Because they still got Jimmy Garoppolo. Let him sit.
It would make perfect sense. Hey, if you want a little something, fire a little. It would have been better when he was plus a lot more.
Yeah.
But maybe Trey Lance,
I think Trey Lance would be a decent play.
Maybe a little something extra for the value.
Yeah. Is Mac Jones a guy who should be just looked at as a guy who can step in and play? I know Trey Lance gets that because of the rawness and all the other and the physical tools. Is Mac Jones a guy who plug and play?
I think so on that offense. Here's why. You got two good receivers, a running game. You got offensive line. I actually think Mac Jones could step in and play in Kyle Shanahan's offense. It's almost the only offense where I could see him. It almost is like a perfect fit for him where the offense, it takes the burden off the quarterback. You have a little running game already. You've got some weapons. You've got some short throws that you can make to guys like Brandon Ayuk, who's a catch-and-run specialist. It just happens to be that this might be the perfect fit for Mac Jones. I think he can play right away. I don't think he plays as good as Jimmy Garoppolo. I think the veteran would play better than Mac Jones. Most rookies don't play better than veterans unless they're star players.
Get rid of Garoppolo before the draft, but I think there's still going to be a market for Garoppolo after the draft.
They say they're not moving him.
Well, they say that, but if they draft Mac Jones with the third overall pick after they gave up three firsts for him,
if you draft Trey Lance, you're not playing Trey.
No, right. But if they draft, then they know who they're drafting. If they draft Mac Jones, what's this after? And you gave up three first rounders.
That's my point. Is you have 5 years. You're really just going to burn off a year of a quarterback when you gave up this much?
I think that they probably would. Hey, and it's not over yet. That could move Jimmy Garoppolo on draft
day. Justin Fields and the two guys who could probably step in and compete are Mac Jones and Justin Fields.
Yeah, right. And those are two guys, favorites. Yeah. Okay, first defensive player picked. Surtain is minus 110. Parsons is plus 175. Quiddy Pay plus 600, J.C. Horn plus 350, Jalen Phillips plus 1400.
Quiddy Pay is your value pick. There is a chance that somebody could get a little because he's a big guy who's explosive and he's a defensive end. Yeah. So if you want value, I think it's going to be Surtain. What's his number? Minus what?
Minus 110.
That's good value. So I would play it twice.
Until number 10.
I would play two times. So if one unit were like $100, I would play $200 on that, and then I would pay like $40 or $50 on Quiddy Pay, because Quiddy Pay at plus 600, that's just, it's not going to be Horn and it's not going to be Jalen Phillips. So you can eliminate
probably
those
not
two
Parsons
guys.
Either with his past.
Parsons has got some character concerns, but they also don't have great value. Like, what'd you say, plus 170? Plus 175?
Parsons plus 175.
I mean, he's a good talent. You could make that argument. But I would say Quiddy Pay is your value. At plus 600, that's your value. You play that, but then you come back and play Surtain. Because I think Surtain at the Cowboys at 10 is a very real possibility. And same thing with who's 11? Possibly the Giants at 11 or their trade-out spot. But that's why Quiddy Pay to me has value. Surtain is a corner, but just the way you kind of look at things, Cowboys also need a pass rushing defensive end.
Yeah.
The Giants need a defensive end. Like, I think that's a pretty good value for Quiddy Pay. I wouldn't even mind firing it at a pretty good chunk just to see if you really hit the payday. How often do you get 6-1 odds?
Right. For a guy that could well be that guy. First running back to be picked. Najee Harris is minus 160. Travis Etienne is plus 150.
Etienne.
That's the value.
Yeah, you take the value at the end.
First wide receiver to be picked.
Ja'Marr Chase is too big a favorite, but
he's a huge favorite.
The lock.
Minus 750.
Yeah.
Devontae's plus 350.
Yep.
Penei Sewell's first tackle is minus 500. Slater's plus 300. That's for value in Slater.
I'd be willing to take a little play on, but you know, I don't think you're going to win it. Mm-hmm. But I'd be willing to take a small play on Slater.
Devontae Smith under over 11.5. Pick selected.
Over.
Over. You think he falls to?
I can't find him. Like he could be Detroit. If it's not Detroit, I think he goes over. He's not going to the Cowboys. Now the Giants are the tricky ones because the Giants could go with a wide receiver. So that's a pretty good over under. I liked it better when it was over when it was 10.5. So it's 11.5 now. See, I kind of like Jalen Waddle under 11.5. Do you have 11.5, Jalen Waddle?
Jalen Waddle is 11.5.
Yeah, I like that under.
You do.
Giants potentially at 11. Plus, teams kind of like Jalen Waddle
more than Devonta.
I think Jalen Waddle could end up maybe with Detroit.
Jamar Chase over under 6. I would go over.
I'm gonna go. What's under? What is it?
6.
No, what's the? Is it minus and plus?
Oh, over 6 is plus 175. The favorite is under.
How much is it?
Minus 250.
Oh no, you gotta go over.
Then. Over.
That's too much. I'm not doing
250. Yeah, because by the way, it could be it very well could be Pitts and Sewell.
Yeah, that's too much.
Yeah.
And if a quarterback, if somebody moves up for a quarterback,
Pitts over under is 5.5. Over is under is the favorite at minus 175.
I still would probably take the under. I think I'd still take the under.
But if somebody goes.
Yeah, I get it. But
the Bengals could take him at 5.
Bengals could take. Obviously, Jamar Chase is like people are acting like that's the favorite for the Bengals.
Well, Najee Harris is the favorite to be the first wide receiver. And the number is.
First running back.
And the number is 32.5.
Oh, under then.
You think he goes in the first round?
I think he'll fall out of the first round, but. You have two teams.
Well, so if he falls out of the first round, then he overpays.
Well, but here's the problem, though. The Miami Dolphins and the Pittsburgh Steelers, 18-24, are two teams that could look running back. And, I had a running back coach tell me he reminds him of Le'Veon Bell. Well, Kevin Colbert drafted Le'Veon Bell, meaning Najee Harris. And then you look at, and this is a coach who used to coach Le'Veon Bell, by the way, with the Steelers. And then, you know, the Miami Dolphins, I think usually I wouldn't have said running back, but right now they're at a point where thanks to the Texans giving them so many picks and thanks to them doing a pretty good job with their draft, they can go get a running back maybe at number 18 or even trade back and still get a running back in Najee Harris. I still think Etienne would be their guy. I mean, because
I think Etienne's got a good chance to be
Alabama
the first.
Alabama players tend to top out a little bit.
Well, except Derrick Henry. Cornerbacks drafted in the first round.
And another guy we didn't.
Who would you rather have, Dell?
They tweeted was Josh Jacobs. That's the other Alabama running back.
Josh is a good player. Yeah,
and we didn't talk about Josh Jacobs.
Yeah,
I am a fan of Etienne. I don't like that Najee Harris was like, you know what? I want you guys to still be wondering how fast I am. He didn't run. He did some stuff, but.
He worked that in the field. He doesn't want to run because he knows the 4.7.
And it would kill him probably.
And if he ran a 4.7, he's for sure out of the first.
Yeah.
It's actually, I understand
I know
him
why
doing
he
that.
Didn't run.
No, absolutely.
I want the home run possibility of Etienne. And Etienne proved himself a little bit as a guy who can catch the ball in the backfield. Najee Harris got into a little issue with Todd McShay's quotes about whether he could catch the ball in the backfield now. But I like Etienne. I liked him last year. Didn't have a great year, but.
Four offensive linemen.
Yeah, they weren't great.
I like Etienne too. And his cousin is a dealer at Prime.
Mo,
is he still there?
I don't think he's still there. No.
It's just when you watch.
But that has nothing to do with.
But that's one of the reasons that I like
you. That's your connection to him
first.
Okay.
Because I know somebody who knows him.
I just know that Clemson offense used him to bail them out quite a bit, and. You like a guy who can bail out an offense just because he's out there. He can go make a play.
And they talk about Harris being, Etienne is a pass catcher now.
Yeah, he makes plays.
He makes plays.
In the passing game.
I think Etienne's going to be the first back.
He should be the first back. He's a 4.4 40 guy who runs with incredible violence. He has unbelievable contact balance. His vision is pretty good. Najee's vision's gotten great. But he also can, you know, he has six career touchdowns of over 50 yards, I think it is. Najee Harris has one run over 42 yards his entire career. That's it. And it happened in the postseason this year. So one guy hits explosive plays and one guy doesn't. In the NFL, if you don't hit explosive plays, you turn into Eddie George. Like, you know, good running back. No, good running back, but you're a grinder. You just, but
I want explosive plays.
But a team could also say, you know what, we'll take that because we ain't about this second contract life for running backs anyway. So we're going to ride. Najee Harris is going to get 300 carries a year from us. And then, boom, we're done. Thank you for your service. Time to go get another running back. That's what's going to start happening in the NFL. Well, you know that, right?
And
you're going to run guys into the ground and just say, it'll be like a Wayne Graham situation. I want you to throw 300 innings. Boom. Goodbye.
Well, don't I want to move up to 32nd and grab him there? So under
that's why you want the fifth year.
That's why you want.
That's why this running back, you never draft running back in the first. You dummies. You get a free year out of this.
Yep, yep. 845 ESPN 97.5.
Texas Custom Patios. Listen, it's not Texas Custom Patios is not going to be free for you, but the enjoyment you get is going to feel like you've gotten over on Texas Custom Patios. When you're sitting outside, like this weather this morning, the cool weather, can you imagine sitting outside on your patio? Let's say this is a Saturday morning, and I've done this many times. Went outside, got ready to watch my Everton team tie a substandard team 1-1, you know, and as I'm headed up for that, gearing up for that big 1-1 draw to, you know, whoever, whatever slappy team that they were going to play, I had my coffee. I went and got my iced coffee. I came back, maybe got a little kolache, sat down on my patio, turned my TV on, my surround sound system that they put into the ceiling, and I'm watching my games out there in nice, cool 58, 62-degree weather. Oh, man, it is so good when the humidity is down. Like, this is fantastic patio weather. Can you imagine having friends over and having your buddies over for steaks and beer, steaks and bourbon, having your friends over, enjoying a nice time out with your family out there, you know, you're grilling your steaks and you're watching TV out there, a big football game or basketball game or baseball game. It could all be yours. Texas Custom Patios can make it a reality. Go to tcplance.com, see what they did for my backyard. And when you see that, you'll be like, oh, yeah, they could do something for us. tcplance.com, that's Texas Custom Patios.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Remember, we're still offering you an opportunity to play golf with some of us. I won't be playing, but you'll get to play with John at the occasional Invitational. That is April 28th. So take the day off work and play a fun round of golf with your favorite sports station at the ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 Occasional Invitational presented by SiteJab.com, benefiting Kids Meals Houston. This year's tournament will take place, as I mentioned, April 28th. That's a Wednesday at 11:30 a.m. at Wildcat Golf Club. Each golfer will receive beverages from Michelob Ultra, lunch from Uberito, dinner from BB's Tex Orleans, 18 holes of golf, and a quick, socially distant dinner. Award ceremony immediately after the tournament. Register now at ESPN975.com.
How about this, Dell? If somebody bids right now to play golf with you, let's say $1,000, you know how many kids have? Do you care about the kids eating?
Remember what I gave you that Michael Jordan mean? F them kids. Remember when I said that?
So you don't want to feed kids.
Yes, we remember when you said F those kids.
Yeah, and this.
No, you don't want to feed kids is what you're trying to tell
no
us.
No one's bidding on anything for me. That's done.
No. If somebody calls in right now,
I would
bids
say
$1,000 to play golf with you.
I would say.
You know how many meals that is for kids?
I don't know.
You know how many kids won't go hungry in the streets of Houston?
I'm sure for the Kincaid kids, that's two meals. I'm not sure how many meals is that for the Kincaid kids.
Yeah, no, it's like $3 a meal. So that's unbelievable. It's hundreds, over 300 kids.
I don't know
what
you don't understand about me is. I don't have that guilt thing that you're trying to elicit. I don't care.
So you'd rather kids go hungry than you play golf?
I mean, I wouldn't position it that way, but if you are going to do it that way, yes.
Okay. I just was
I'm
wondering.
I'm sorry, were you looking for
so now?
Were you looking for dishonesty from Dell?
No, let's adjust now our worst person rankings. Now, Dell moves into the lead.
Do you think it makes you a bad person to try to shame someone? Doesn't that make you a bad person?
No, no, I'm not shaming anyone. I'm trying to raise money for kids' meals.
We shame people all. This is the new power mechanism.
I know.
You shame people into doing what you want them to do.
That's not it. I'm trying to raise money for kids' meals.
This is the embodiment of Twitter now. He is shaming you.
He definitely is. He is trying to elicit. He is trying to get me to do something I don't want to do out of shame and guilt. And I just and I
gonna,
I'm not I'm
is
not going to
get his public apology for me.
Not I'm it. Not going to bend to it.
It's
yes,
not
it
at all. I'm trying to raise money for.
Are
the
you going to apologize for what you did?
What did I do? John knows I don't like the play
golf. Chat apology for making kids starve. Apparently,
yeah. Those kids
Speaking
are not going to. Those
Speaking
kids
of that,
aren't,
did you
aren't
see what they're doing in Skid Row? So have you ever been anywhere near Skid Row? Probably not. Most people probably have.
In L.A.?
Yeah. I only accidentally did.
No.
It's the most disturbing thing that I've ever witnessed. I was headed to meet Eric Layden there. By the way, shout out to the podcast for coming back. We're going to tape next week. We started back up off script. But and I got to find out what's going on with his taping of Ozark to see how that went.
Mm-hmm. And give us some plots.
Season 4. So anyway, he's like, hey, meet me at this sushi place called Hama. And I'm like, oh, okay. I put it into my phone. NFL Network, I'm like about 8 miles away, which means I'm 2 hours away.
Right.
So I go, and Waze says, Lance, we got a great way for you to go. This is going to save you 12 minutes. Tell me. Wow.
Perfect.
Thanks, Waze. So I click it because I trust Waze over Apple. Apple Maps is trash. And Waze is substantially better. And quit with your hipster Google Maps. I don't care. Save it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't need to hear about your Google Maps. I'm Waze, and that's it. So anyway, Waze takes me into downtown L.A. And I'm cruising along, and then I'm like, ooh, that's...
Wow.
There's some people walking the streets here. I'm like, hey, well, this is the tent, like a little tent city here. And I'm like, hey, these are all tent cities. Hey, that man's pooing in the street. Hey, there are people openly like wrestling on the ground. Hey, there don't seem to be rules here at all. People are just walking through the street like, I don't want to stop at a red light currently. And it keeps going and going, and it won't stop. It will not stop. Now, for me, it went for about 10 to 11 blocks of driving. That's a long way.
Uh-huh.
And it's really like, please have these lights synced. Please have these lights synced. The total blockage, if you, and this is not hyperbole on my kids, this is all real. If you take all the blocks, west and east, is 56 blocks of homeless people in tent city. I've never, it's staggering to think of that, but it is true and it's real. And it is unbelievable. LA, a judge has just ordered every homeless person has to be offered housing by October. Because L.A. just keeps talking about, we need to do something about homeless, and but they don't actually do anything.
Right.
So this judge is like, all right, quit talking about it and doing it. One of the reasons they're doing it is they want to get their parks back, their beaches back. Like, it's just homeless people have just, like, they just will go to parks someplace to sleep, neighborhoods. They just sleep in neighborhoods. And so L.A. is like, okay, we got to try to get the city back a little bit here. And the homeless people need a place to stay, so... As a judge, they need to be offered housing by October.
The judge is legislating to me, but okay.
How's that going to work?
We're not going to get, yeah.
No, I think, but here's the thing. That's the tricky thing is people in L.A. want that to happen now. They're like, yeah.
Well, they want that to happen, but a judge, that
should
be legislation.
Well, they want their beaches and parks back.
Not judgment, but okay.
Well, that's because nobody in legislation will do anything.
Well, right, but that's not a judge's job. But okay. All right. You know what?
I'm sorry. Would you like to be held in contempt?
Because
the way you're
I've
talking reckless right now
for most of my life, so that really doesn't matter to me.
We can put you in contempt.
Yeah.
So we'll see how
well,
that.
Good luck with
good luck with
finding all those.
I don't want to be. I don't,
of 56 blocks of homeless people. Okay.
Guys, get him a home. All right, that's off the docket. What's next? Oh, I think it's gonna be a little harder than just getting it off your docket, Judge.
Yeah. All right, 713-780-3776. Oh, Prince passed away 5 years ago today. And yesterday was David Carr being, what was David Carr? He was selected.
2 days ago.
Yeah, 2 days ago.
The anniversary of him being, it was yesterday.
It was yesterday, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, but why are we doing the 19th day? It's the 20th day.
You mean the 19th year?
It was 420 when he was elected. Everybody was high when they picked him. Right?
I guess.
Maybe. I don't know. 5 years ago today, Prince died. That's a sad day. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here.
I was a Prince guy.
On ESPN 97.5. Joe Burrow said Zach Taylor is going to be great for us for a long time.
I like Zach Taylor. I don't know if he's going to work out there, but I met Zach Taylor a couple times, talked to him at the Oklahoma Pro Day, not this year, but the year before, right before COVID shut it all down. That guy's a man. He's got a great temperament, really even keel. You get the sense that you don't know if this is going to be the job for him, but it feels like it could be. Like, it feels like they've waited long enough that you got to give guys time. I mean, yeah. Zach Taylor, you got to, and luckily you got a team that's cheap, well, and they're not just going to.
And hopefully Joe stays healthy for him.
Well, that's what I mean. I mean, you got Joe, you're going to get the fifth pick of the draft. Like, okay, if you ask me whose future do I like better, Texans or Bengals, I'm putting my stock in the Bengals.
I wouldn't mind if they traded back to 9. You know what? You're going to get, you might be able to get, you get Slater there. Mm-hmm. And you get extra picks. Denver needs a quarterback, so they might, if Trey Lance is still there, they move up and grab him. You get extra picks from them, and you still get your left tackle, who's probably a better, right? Is he not better at pass protection than Penei Sewell?
Yes, he's better.
And that's what you need for Joe.
I know everyone's like, get Penei. Well, that's his weakness, actually. Y'all sure y'all want this right now? A guy who didn't play last year? Who needs to get stronger, and sure you don't want this strong guy who's played 3 or 4 years of football
and
3 years of
good,
football.
It looks good.
As a left tackle. Yeah. You sure you don't want him? But I get why people like Penei Sewell. But if I'm the Bengals and could pick up an extra pick and still maybe get my hands on Penei Sewell or Slater or a pass catcher.
So the Bengals would have to make a choice between two guys who sat out last year. Didn't Rashawn Slater sit out last year too?
He did too.
Yeah.
He did because well, both of those guys sat out because they were Pac-10 and Big Ten at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
They took money, and then they went and started working out, and I think they were like, yeah, I'm not giving the money back. So,
got to get that.
So long. I'm good. Some players came back. Rondale Moore came back. He sat out. He said he wasn't going to do it. And
I think Sean Wade, too.
Sean Wade.
He probably should
Sean
have.
Sean Wade should have sat out. Just kept people guessing.
Stayed, yeah. He should have stayed out. All right. I want to talk right now.
Marco Wilson should have sat out.
You just don't like the Wilson. Wow. You just don't like the Wilson family. Yeah,
shoe throw. Man. Oh, he's also known as the shoe throw.
I'm glad it cost them a shot at a SEC title game, which would have led them to the national title
LSU
if they would have won
done,
it.
Yeah. And then he threw a shoe, and then Florida lost.
Yep.
They were one non-shoe throw away.
They
from
were a winner.
Playing,
they
were a winner
for playing Alabama for a chance to go to the playoff.
How about that? All right, 713-780-3776, top of the hour. We'll go over the headlines from yesterday on the other side. But right now I want to talk about my peeps over at Chastang Ford. And one of the things about buying a car from the dealership is that you're going to like them, you're going to trust them, you're going to go back there because you're going to service your car. You're going to, you know, you have to know that those people are giving you the best deal that you can get. You have to know that they're not going to just add stuff on. Because that happens at all, it literally happens at all the other dealerships. And you've been there before where they go, yeah, but you're going to need this. And, oh, you got to have this. And you want the, at Chastain Ford, honestly, they said, what package do you want? I've picked out the Expedition. What package do you want? That is great. That's it. Okay, thank you. That's the price. What price do you have to be at? We're going to work this deal until we get the payments at exactly what you can afford and what you need them at. And that was it. And we did the deal, and it was unbelievable. And it's the best vehicle that I've owned. And it is, I'm telling you, and it was the best experience that I could have had. And you're going to get that too. I mean, I speak for them, but I didn't speak for them then when I bought this vehicle. I'm telling you, you'll love doing business with Chastain Ford. They've got to get these 2020s off the lot. You're getting up to $15,000 off on the Explorers and Expeditions. And the Ford EcoSport right now, S, it's unbelievable how low they're going. Shop online at ChastainFord.com or stop by 610 Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown. It's Chastain Ford.
ESPN 97.5.